This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
May her powerful intercession bring you a happy and prosperous new year.
Karma Yoga really is about always striving in everything that you do every day to be of service to others. And it has now brought me to this place here to do it as a member of Congress.
Holy Spirit, will you come down and hover over this dome and over the city and over our lives. Come and descend on us with the cloud of the very presence and glory of God.
Louis Giglio has made a concerted effort to include and feature on the stage at Passion 2013 some people who are theologically dubious at best.
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
When making the moral case for not just the life issue, but several issues that we usually think of in the political and social and moral realm, is there a difference between making that case with a fellow Christian, where you could, perhaps, draw upon a common source of authority like the Bible, and making it with someone who doesn't believe anything or you don't know what they believe? Is there a secular case to be made for the protection of the unborn? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon. It's the 7th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be making that secular case for life with Pastor Jason Broughton here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. A little bit later, we'll be doing a sermon review, a sermon preached yesterday for the Epiphany of our Lord. That was what the church was celebrating yesterday, Sunday, and place to place. Pastor Peter Bender of Peace Lutheran Church, he's a regular guest here on the program in Sussex, Wisconsin. Sermon text was the famous visit of the Magi in Matthew chapter 2. We'll be doing a little sermon review and reviewing that sermon for the next half hour of Issues Etc. Then a treat for this Monday after Epiphany, the Epiphany hymn, O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright. Dr. Arthur Just will join us to study that hymn in hour 2 of Issues Etc. Pastor Jason Broughton is a regular guest. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tuscola, Illinois. And he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Three Ways to Talk About Life. Jason, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks. It's my pleasure.
We're going to be talking primarily about making the case with unbelievers. But first, what's the difference between discussing the subject of life with a fellow Christian as opposed to discussing that subject with an unbeliever?
The primary difference is what we have in common as far as a source of authority is concerned. With another Christian, presumably, you can count on the fact that they see the Holy Scriptures as an authoritative source of authority, a place where you can turn to say, this is true, and therefore anything that goes against this truth is false. Whereas when you're dealing with someone who's not a Christian, they might not see, and probably won't see, the Bible as a source of authority. So you have to find some sort of common ground by which you can say, here we agree on this particular source of truth.
Is there a case to be made, apart from Scripture, for the protection of the unborn?
There is a fantastic case for the protection of the unborn. And in this regard, science is our best friend. Science has shown us, at least in two areas, one in the area of embryology, and two, just in the area of a biological law, that the unborn are, in fact, full-fledged members of the human race.
You say the first step, however, before you get to the particulars of that, is to clarify the issue. What do you mean by that? How does that happen?
Well, oftentimes when you get into conversations with non-Christians about the subject of abortion, the first thing that comes up are appeals to hard cases, which I discussed in answering objections. So, for instance, someone would bring up, what about the poor? You know, how are you going to make them have another child if they can't afford it? And the assumption here is that, and this is what we're dealing with when you're dealing with clarifying the issue, is the assumption that is often made by a non-Christian is that the unborn aren't human. And so since they're not human, we can go ahead and end that pregnancy. And so what we try to do here is, in clarifying the issue, is we show them that they're assuming what can't be assumed. They're assuming that the unborn aren't human. For if the unborn aren't human, you don't need any sort of reason to end a pregnancy at all, because it's not human. There's nothing special about it. But if it is human, and it is a living, human, full-fledged member of our race, then we have to take a step back and say, no, we can't take this life because there is something special about humanity.
So it sounds like what you're saying is, if we don't establish the real crux of the issue, that is the humanity or non-humanity, for lack of a better word, of the unborn or the embryo, we could waste a lot of time talking about things, perhaps talking past each other, but most certainly never really getting to any closer to agreement or convincing someone that the unborn deserve protection.
Yeah, that's precisely right. You just said it better than I did, and I wrote the article. That's exactly it. The point is, you can end up going down all of these rabbit holes that never end up really looking at what the primary issue in abortion is. That pro-life advocates aren't arguing that they prefer someone not to have an abortion. They're saying that it is morally wrong to take the life of a human being. And if it's not established that even the embryo, at its very earliest stage of development, is a full-fledged member of the human race, then you're getting nowhere.
You said something a minute ago. It appears several times in what you've written, so I take it it's very important, but I want you to explain it again. You said that if the unborn aren't human, then we don't really need a reason for abortion whatsoever. And if they are human, then no reason, no explanation for abortion suffices. Take that apart. Why is it so important that that be our guiding principle here?
Well, frankly, if the unborn aren't human beings, then we can do whatever we want. I had heard one pro-life advocate, and I forget who it was, mention how he has a child who would come up to him and say, "Is it okay to kill this, Dad?" And your immediate question as a father is, well, what is it that you're wanting to kill? Is it a bug? Or, is it your neighbor's new best friend because, now he's not your friend? That's an entirely different thing to deal with. And so you want to clarify what you're talking about. And so if you're talking about a bug, yeah, sure, go ahead, kill the bug. It doesn't matter. However, if you're talking about killing another human being, well, then it certainly does matter, because there is no justification that merits the taking of innocent life, innocent human life. But if it's not a human life, if it's not a human being, it doesn't matter what you do with it.
In making the actual case, You point us to what you call in the article the law of biogenesis. Most of us learned that probably in junior high or high school. What is it?
Well, the law of biogenesis states, as I mentioned in the article, that life only comes from life. This is what Louis Pasteur found in the clarification of his pasteurization process. That there is not life that comes from nothing. Life always comes from another living thing. And the second part of it is that like kinds produce like kinds. So you won't expect a spider to reproduce and give you a fly. You won't expect a human being to reproduce and give you a horse. So a human being always reproduces other human beings. And a living human being always gives you another living human being. So just from this law of biology, the law of biogenesis, you cannot say and maintain that the unborn, the embryo, is something other than that which is living or that is not human. It goes against everything we learned in 6th or 7th grade biology. So that's the first point with regard to science.
Well, let's pause there for just a second. This is so fundamental. And someone might say here, well, no, you're getting kind of metaphysical on us, Pastor Broughton. You're talking about life. Who knows what life is? But what you're saying here is simply well-established observational science that is hundreds and hundreds of years old and simply assumed in all of the biological sciences.
Exactly.
Now, you said that was the first point. What's the second one?
Well, the field of embryology, which studies embryos, has, since the very beginning, understood that a unique living human being begins at conception. And in fact, this was testified before Congress in 1981, when they were going through again trying to fight Roe v. Wade, that from a biological embryological perspective, the beginning of life, the beginning of a new human life, is really quite simple, and that is at conception. That's when a new human being is formed.
When we come back, we're going to answer some objections often made in the secular realm to protecting the unborn. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Jason Broughton is our guest. We're making the secular case for the protection of the unborn on this Monday afternoon, January the 7th. Let's respond, if we could, to some objections. You mentioned a few before, but here's probably the biggest one that we run into. And I'll play devil's advocate. You are simply against a woman's right to do with her body however she chooses. How do you respond?
I mean, I would simply respond to that by saying, I wholeheartedly agree with every pro-abortion advocate that we shouldn't take away a woman's right to choose what they do with their bodies, that we shouldn't get in the middle of a woman and her doctor, that we shouldn't take away any of those rights that are granted to women. However, if the unborn aren't human, that's fine when it comes to abortion. But if the unborn are human, well, then we have a completely different story. Because now we're not just talking about that one woman. We're talking about the male or female that she is reproducing in her own body. And so it's not just her body anymore. It's two bodies. And so, yeah, I would simply say, yeah, I agree. We shouldn't do all of those things. We shouldn't get in the way of women's rights if the unborn aren't human. But if they are, there's no reason that will justify taking the life of that innocent human being.
What about the objection that you mentioned earlier? That is, look, we're dealing here with people who are poor, in some cases abjectly poor, who can't afford another kid.
This is what one pro-life advocate calls, or the response to this is what one pro-life advocate calls trotting out the toddler. And that you would simply say something to this effect. Give the example of a family that has four or five children and adding one more, you know, would put them way beyond their means. And you simply ask, well, what about their two-year-old child right here? This would alleviate their budget of one extra child. And so instead of having five, they would have four. This would create extra funds so that they could take care of their other four. Why don't we get rid of that two-year-old so that these two parents can take care of the other four much better? And I don't know of anyone who would say, oh, yeah, that's fine, that's perfect. They would say, well, no, you can't do that. And then our response would be, well, why not? Well, because that's a human being. That would be murder. And our response would be, well, that's precisely the point. If the unborn are human, we would be doing the same thing to them. We would be taking innocent human life for our own selfish reasons.
One of the most common reasons, especially in the middle class, why abortion is sought other than mere convenience is because there's some sort of disability, physical or mental, that's detected in the fetus. Answer that objection. You know, how can you expect people who may be well-meaning otherwise, how could you force them to raise a child with physical or mental disabilities?
Again, it's the same line of reasoning that we had with the family that was poor or would become poorer because of having another child. The same line of reasoning holds also for this, that you would trot out your toddler. You would take a look at a family that has someone with a Down syndrome or a disability that can be tested prenatally and, you know, take that two-year-old child and say, well, you know, they didn't think it was going to be an issue at the time, and so they went forward and had this child, but, you know, now it's kind of difficult, and they wish they would have had that abortion, but, you know, it's not a problem. We can go ahead and do it right now, can't we? Well, no. Well, why not? Well, because that two-year-old is a human being. It's an innocent child. And that's, again, precisely the point, that there is no distinction between the two-year-old and the unborn fetus biologically, scientifically, or even philosophically. They are full-fledged members of the human race. And the only distinction that separates them is their size, how developed they are, how dependent they are, and where they live. One lives in the womb and the other lives outside of the womb. But we certainly wouldn't say that just because someone is smaller than someone else, that gives them a right to kill that person, would we? Or because one person is more dependent upon another, therefore they have a right to take that person's life.
Isn't, and here's one that probably really needs the kind of nuanced response that you've given, isn't the fetus, at least at some point, just a clump of cells?
From a purely scientific point of view, I mean, yes, but so are we. If you look at us simply as a biological entity, we are, as fully grown adults, my 35-year self is just as much a clump of cells as the fetus who is unborn. But then again, the point here is that just as all of my cells are working together to keep me alive, to continue to make me more mature, although there may be some people who would question that, and they are working as a whole for my overall health and well-being, so are the cells of the unborn fetus. They are self-directing its maturation and its health. The cells of the unborn fetus aren't taking any cues or any directions from the cells of the mother. They are developing on their own according to the DNA that is within them, which is human DNA. And so just as I am a clump of cells, of human cells, that are continuing to mature and maintain my health, so are the cells of the unborn.
Finally, then, one that's more timely. What about cases of rape?
Well, rape is profoundly evil, and those who are victims of rape deserve our best care, whether it be spiritual, physical, financial, or psychological. And I don't want to diminish how evil a thing rape is. However, there's more to the case of rape than simply how evil it is. Because if a mother or a person or a woman who is raped conceives a child in that rape, that child is still a fully human being, just as any other unborn child is. And so as difficult as it might be for us as Christians to say, you must keep this child, we are looking at all aspects of life. And so we care for the woman who has been raped in the way that she needs to be cared for, and we care for that unborn child in the way that the child needs to be cared for, because we're not dealing with just one entity there. We're dealing with two human persons, both the victim of rape as well as the unborn child that came from that rape.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds here, Jason, keep our eye on the ball again, as you have in the course of our conversation. What is the central issue when we're discussing the protection of the unborn, especially with people outside the pale of Christianity? About 30 seconds.
The primary issue is the answer to this question. What are the unborn? If the unborn aren't human, there's no need to proceed. We can do whatever we want. If, however, the unborn are human, if the unborn are full-fledged members of the human race, then there is no justification adequate for ending that life.
Pastor Jason Broughton is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tuscola, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Three Ways to Talk About Life. Jason, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to do a little sermon review, a sermon preached for the Epiphany of our Lord yesterday by Pastor Peter Bender of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. We'll talk about the visit of the Magi as we do our sermon review right after this. Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Here's a heartwarming story to start the new year. Madalena Douse is one of UK's tiniest premature babies to survive, and it's due to a pair of scissors. She was born at just 23 weeks, so doctors debated whether or not they should try to save her life. They put Madalena on the scales, and she weighed 1 pound, the minimum required by their standards of whether or not to try to save preemie babies. After she was safely on a ventilator, doctors discovered a pair of scissors had been accidentally left on the scales. This extra weight put Madalena over the limit. After about 6 months, doctors at Royal Sussex Hospital discharged her and expect her to grow into a healthy child. In this case, God used a simple pair of scissors to save this tiny child.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.